Welcome to the Steam Team Podcast with Brian Briggs and John Samuelson. Join us as we talk about all things science, technology, engineering, arts, and math related. For more information, go to steamteacher.com. Hello and welcome to the Steam Team. What's up? It's a brand new podcast, and we're so new that we're going to plan out the podcast and we're going to do it live right now. So you can think, do I want to listen to this? Does this interest me, or do I not want to listen to this? Is it just John Samuelson talking again? He does all sorts of different podcasts, right? But right now, you'll see why you want to listen to it, because here is the other host of the show, and his name is
Brian Briggs. I can't do it like Bedley.
You can't do it. Brian Briggs.
Brian Briggs.
Briggs. I think
it's great. And we always like listening to you. So I guess whatever, you know, platform is on, we'll listen.
I know what we're doing. Like, we're doing a crazy mishmash podcast right here.
It's all good.
It's all good. Yeah, it's all good. It's all just for fun and games. Well, so Brian, I think that I got my podcast. I've lost my podcasting mojo, but I got it back. Number one, because you agreed to do this. But then number two, we're talking about geeky toys for teaching that we love. And then number three, Podomatic said, hey, we'll give you some extra storage so you don't have to keep deleting podcasts. And I said, okay. So they quadrupled my storage.
Oh, that is so cool. Because that was an issue with Podomatic. That there was a ceiling limit, so it gave you a max. But if they were going to quadruple it, oh, that's a score. That's four more shows you can do.
I know, right? So then we figured, okay, what else besides the Steam Team?
Yeah,
we were going to call it the Steam Dream Team, but we don't want to seem cocky, right? We're not arrogant. We're not arrogant here.
Yeah, we don't know everything.
we barely know anything, really.
We don't know a lot. So we're going to share
speak for myself. You know a lot, Brian.
Not as much as you.
No,
it's the blind leading the blind.
There we go. Okay, so here's what we thought about with the podcast. And as we're sitting here, we were laughing because Brian said he thought of our format's going to kind of be that we would like to talk through. And right now what we're going to do is we're going to plan out topics that we're going to discuss in future episodes, and we're going to try and keep it tight, and we're going to try and keep it to 30 minutes. Brian, I'll write down the time we started, which is 10:15. Okay, we'll keep it tight. And we were just going to kind of talk about some topics that were upcoming. So I was just looking around my desk right here in my messy house, and Brian said he saw something over in the corner yonder right there, and you can't see if you don't watch on YouTube, but do you want to go through it? And we're big buyers of Kickstarters. So what do you know about the Make Block drone, Brian?
That was going to be one of the elements at the end kind of thing we're going to talk about. The crowdsource corner?
Yes.
So like Kickstarter, and I use Indiegogo a lot.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah, so the Kickstarter, the one that John has there that I really want is Airblock. So it's by MakerBlock. And it's the drone that, again, it's got like these little modules that you can take apart and put together. And, you know, what is it? Does it come with six blades on there? And
you
can build different, like the one I saw the commercial for was like a hovercraft that you can build, which would be pretty cool. And then I'm just thinking outside the box here, what else can you make or what else can you connect to it? Again, I wonder what.
I wonder what I was thinking when I ordered it, because I brought two of them. Because why not just double up, right? Double your pleasure.
Now, can you? I wonder. Can you connect the two together?
That's what I was thinking. I think I
have a double decker drone.
That's what I was thinking. Well, so I have. Yeah. So we're gonna do a little Kickstarter corner at the end when we start to stop. I've actually got mine open in tabs on the bottom, Brian. So I'm ready to go. Like I have ones that people can buy right now, like the Make Block drone. I think you can buy, but it's already like been a funded Kickstarter.
Yeah,
that took a long time to get here, so that's kind of like a cheat. But we do have our Kickstarter corner, and I actually have, let me see, oh yeah, I've got two of them right there. I've got two tabs open, so I'll even have to decide between which Kickstarter I'm funding.
Well, since I'm not prepared, you can share both.
Oh, you're not prepared. Okay. All right. That's right.
They're in my emails. So I have to.
You'd have to go through it. Okay. Yeah. So Brian, as long as we're doing that then, so let's, you're the drone expert to me that I would ask for other things. Okay. So there's the Make Block drone. What other drones would you like to talk about on the show and like the educational ramifications of the drone or whatever things that we can talk about a little bit? I'm taking notes, so don't worry.
Okay. The one that I have about 20 of are just the Parrot Rolling Spider. I used it a lot with Tickle, the Tickle app, but then, you know, Tickle took a different route and kind of left it up in the air. But what I'm excited for now is that the Apple Swift Playground is now going to interact with it. So now you can do Swift coding to go beyond the Blockly coding. You can use the actual Swift programming to control these drones. So I'm excited about it. So when I go into work tomorrow, I'm going to bring a drone home to practice at home. Because right now, to code with Blockly to start off with kids is I've been going to Tinker. So I've been using the Tinker app to do program with the drones. But now with the Apple Swift Playground, it's a great succession to, you know, start the young kids with Blockly and then move on to a more, you know, realistic, a more real programming language of Swift. So I think that's the drone that's the route I'm going to probably start going with. So
I saw that Michelle Cordy, I was just at a conference and Michelle Cordy was talking about connecting Swift Playground to that. And it's the, you know, and what Apple wants is they want the Swift Playground to be the bridge from the block coding when Scratch, which you and I both love.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to go there. And right, when we're talking about, you know, we're talking about all these cool toys, but realistically, the goal is that on the show, we would talk about how to code with them and do things that are practical, not just like you're going out and flying drones or whatever. Although you could use your drone also to get like great aerial footage to make movies and add into student films and things like that. And then Brian could also tell you the ins and outs of like battery life, right? Like what's the trick? We could tell you the tricks. We won't give away all our secrets now, but there is a trick. We can give away one of them. What's the trick with the Parrot drones, Brian, to keep them flying a little bit so you don't just go out there and you're like, oh, epic fail.
Yeah, so the battery life is only, so now these are the first generation, the Parrot Rolling Spider. So the battery life's only about 8 minutes. So whenever I bought a drone, when I bought one of these, I would buy 4 batteries along with it. So at least it'll get you through the period of your day if you're teaching like multiple periods. So I have a slew full of batteries to go along with them. And these rolling spiders now that they have a new line out, which I want to get that one that shoots, with the new line, you can find these pretty cheap now. I mean, you're like maybe about $60, because eventually what I'd love to do is, and I think Ramsey Musallam does it, is his kids take them apart to build other things with the drone guts. So,
oh, that's cool. He does like an Unmaker Space thing with it, huh?
He does. And then that one, what was it, last summer, he reached, like, we've been sharing ideas. He commented back to me saying that one of his students came back, middle school, and they made a first-person drone, you know, the FPV drone, with one of those rolling spiders.
So, oh, wow. So I mean, it'd be like, yeah, it'd be like the drone races on ESPN then.
Exactly, with these things. So I thought, wow, that is so cool. And it was student made. So I thought that was awesome. And then I think he started doing his lesson plans. Instead of doing a presentation, the student did Instructable, you know, the website.
Oh, right.
And then so they're using that for presentation models instead of a Google Slide or a PowerPoint. So I thought, again, another cool idea. So, yeah, that so that's cool. That's what I got for you.
Okay, so there's our, so we're not going to just, you know, so drones, one element of the STEAM, should we just keep saying it, the STEAM team? One element of the STEAM team podcast will be drones, but there's also other elements too. So here, I'm going to reach down real quick. That was just what we were looking at in my house. You can also see there's Honey Nut Cheerios as I move my head right here. So here's one that Brian and I talk about a little bit. People in my district love them. Brian doesn't share as much love for them, but you can see how I am because I'm holding up right now a still boxed Ozobot Evo, which is the newest of the Ozobots, sitting here on top, kind of like a little R2-D2 unit. So anyway, we can also talk a little bit of robots, right? And Brian can talk a lot of robots. But these are things that we use in our school district. So we're going to give not only give you that, but we're going to give you a lot of practical, uses in the classroom for them. In fact, I have for Ozobots, I've done like all just not like the lesson plans myself, but I've like put them on a listly and linked to all like the important details so that if a teacher does like write a little GoFundMe for Ozobots, I can send them this list and it has the links to the resources, the Ozoblockly content. So we'll probably do a little bit of banter back and forth, right, Brian, about like, I like them for this. I think I almost talked you into using, you're like, maybe I'm changing my mind a little bit, but then I think it didn't change your mind again. What is the thing that you find difficult to use with the Ozobots?
Well, let me go back and say that their new one that came out, I think they're getting back on track of
okay.
getting me to buy
Evo,
it.
Right?
The Evo. Yeah. I don't like the price point.
Okay.
Because isn't it is pretty...
It's small.
It's that, small. That, but it's like over... Isn't it like over $100?
This one's $99.
So 107?
Yeah, $100.
I still think they're limited. And when they first came out with the very first one, I think my big thing was they marketed it wrong.
Okay.
And that's just my own personal feeling because they marketed it as a coding robot, but mm-hmm. it was more following. I don't know how many coders are using lines of different color to code with.
You mean that coders aren't really going onto the internet and then drawing with markers and big green lines and doing figure eights and then the robot follows them? And you're like, wow, we're coding.
Yeah, they're not sketchnoting their website.
Nicole Carter could probably do that because she's the big sketchnoting fan. I think she's doing the sketchnoting lesson right now. But yeah. Right, so that's what allows younger grades to use them in our school district, right? So then you can kind of get them the idea of it a little bit, and then you can do little different colored dots, and then they speed up or slow down or do a hurricane and do little moves, right? So
and for me being like, again, my background was early elementary teaching. I always felt why dumb down the curriculum just because they're younger? Right. I mean, the kids can use Scratch Junior. I got to give it to Ozo because they have the website that now you can do Blockly coding with the Ozobots. I just never got it to work for some reason. When I held it up to the screen, it wouldn't transmit the code. So
no, that is hard because we were just doing that in a classroom the other day. So we'll give you our opinions and we'll be honest on like, it's not like Ozobots is like, hey, Steam Team. Right. All of our opinions are just our opinions. So we'll probably disagree on some things. I don't think we will that much, but we might disagree on things.
We'll try to sell each other.
Right. We're not trying to sell anything either, but we will have a website that's up where we will put the shows and then we'll talk and give a little bit more of helpful links. So that if you want to check it out for yourself, you can. And sometimes, like I was talking to Josh Stumpenhorst, and he was talking about like buying some stuff for his makerspace and things. And I just sent him the links for some of the things we had, and he thought it was really helpful. Or at least he said it was real helpful and lied to me. So that's okay. I mean, we're just trying to help you make informed decisions so that you're not wasting money on things that will just sit there, right?
Yeah. And again, I think I look at the robots, like when you're buying a robot, like for more practical uses. It's not a one and done thing. So to go back to the Ozobots is I do like them because most of classrooms, if they're working at their desks, you don't need a lot of space versus Spheros, you need a lot of room, I do like the Sphero, but
Spheros are great. Yeah, Spheros are great. And so Spheros, another robot that we'll talk about. Brian is really in tune with Dash and Dot, right? So Dash and Dot, that's one of Brian's that's his bread and butter, like he's batting cleanup for that show right there.
Yeah. So and more so Dash than Dot. I really like it.
That's right. No disrespect
to Dot. But I guess they're coming out. They're going to release some big news at ISTE, which I won't be at. So you can go scope them out. So
I will be at them. And hopefully what we'll do today is we'll put up this podcast. This is the Monday before I travel to ISTE on Saturday. So yeah, we're going to put this up before ISTE. That was our whole point of kind of planning this out. Maybe we could tweet it to the hashtag a couple times. And if you like this, you can share it out with peeps.
Yeah, that'll be good.
But yeah. Okay. And I'll watch for the announcement then. And I'll box you real quick and be like, here's the announcement.
Yeah. You can go find Brian Miller.
Yeah, right. I can find Brian Miller. He'll definitely be there somewhere. He doesn't know who I am.
He's Wonder Workshop. So
right.
He's the head guy now.
He'll be like, who are you? I'm Samuelson. iPad Sammy. Okay, iPad Sammy. I know him. So yeah, that'll be kind of cool. So we'll talk robots. We'll talk Dash and Dot. We'll talk all that stuff. We could even talk primary stuff with like the BeeBot and the Codapillar. There's so many things out there. That's why we thought there's so many shows. And then the thing is, we actually have a lot of the stuff and we've had hands-on experience with it. Right, Brian?
That's right. And again, for a big selling point, you know, if I think something's going to work, if it holds my attention for more than one session, I know it'll be a good one. So I am a tester because I am a kid at heart. So, but again, we also talked about this show just beyond, we're not just going to do toys or tools. We talked about, you know, bringing people on to not necessarily like the show that I do with Ryan. We don't like doing interviews. We like calling them conversations. Mm-hmm. So again, just talk about things. So bringing people in, maybe someone from, you know, people at Scratch. We can bring in Sam Patterson because he's all over it, and some other great people that are doing some great things with Steam.
Right. There are so many great people doing some things. I imagine we'll branch off to the Makerspace part too.
Because
those are things that we're interested in, right? And these are just kind of the things that we're really interested in right now. Now, another thing that Brian and I are totally interested in is I look at the pimple on my neck right there and kind of scratch. I'm like, oh my goodness. I do not like to look. I haven't done a podcast in so long. I haven't looked. Let me cover that up right now. If you're listening to the show, please just listen to the show. Don't watch the show on YouTube because, oh man. I mean, Brian's easier on the eyes than I am, but I'm just downright hurtful. There's Ryan Gosling, and then there's the other end of the spectrum, which is me. And then of course, I love how the garbage truck is coming right outside my door right now. So one of the other things, besides talking to some great people, there's some great makerspace opportunities to talk about. And we'll bring on and just be like, yeah, we can have a conversation about just what we really like. And one of the things that Brian and I really like is the Raspberry Pi.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that a lot of people don't know. Like people are like, oh, I've heard of that. Like I was just down in Arizona at the Arizona K-12 Center conference. And one of the TOSAs was like, I've heard of Raspberry Pi. So then I kind of explained it to her. I said, it's a very small, cheap computer that you can connect to existing old monitors and just plug in a mouse and a keyboard and you're ready to go. And her eyes lit up. She's like, really? And I'm like, I will definitely be able to tell you about that. So why don't you talk a little Raspberry Pi, Brian?
Yeah. And again, we went to the Raspberry Pi Academy, which was almost just a little over a year ago.
Yeah, it was like the end of April last year. And yeah. And at the computer center
computer
or whatever
museum.
It was.
Yeah. In computer, San Jose.
Yeah. It was fun. That was cool.
That was awesome. That was a great venue for it too. And I'm excited because they're rolling out a lot more Pi Academies. It's not so like restrictive to get into. It's a great place to get exposure. If you're doing coding and stuff already, it's a great exposure to Raspberry Pis because it's a hands-on development. And by the end of day two, you have to construct a project with a team and present it to the group, working or not. But it was a great, I had a blast during that Pi Academy. I would do it again if I could. And again,
I know I almost thought about doing it again. Like, I don't know enough to be like one of like Sam coming in and being like a helper person, but I do know enough that I would like to do it again because it was fun.
Yeah, it would be, it was an awesome experience. And then the networking and the people that you meet, at the time it was what, West Coast, far as how far that one guy drove. Yeah.
Right there. And then there was my friend, from Louisiana, Emily Swenson. Yeah, right. And she could actually come in. I've seen her doing some great things with the Pi Top computers, yes. laptop computers that you can construct with the Raspberry Pi. And Brian and I both, I'm going to go to their dinner at ISTE, Brian, the Pi Top dinner.
Oh, awesome.
I know, that's why I wish you were going to ISTE. But so maybe I'll meet up with Emily and we can talk about having her on the show, because I've seen her. And the thing is, she's in summer camp right now and she's really doing some cool stuff with the Pi Tops.
That'd so be awesome there's to hear.
There's so many things, but the Pi, right. So the Raspberry Pi Academy, like the second day you're hands-on, you're using makerspace type stuff. Yeah. Brian had a great idea. So he went through and we bought an emoji pillow the gift shop downstairs. And then we like hollowed it out with stuffing and we put a little camera in there. And then Brian recorded his voice saying like, "Hey, you," and then when the motion sensor would trip, and then we set up a Twitter account so it would tweet out the image, and it was fun. It was fun stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. There's, again, a lot of resources is on the Raspberry Pi website, a lot of stuff. You know, they have magazines and stuff, but great for education. You just pop on there and see some of these great ideas. So if you had some for your class, you know, just go through and show the ins and outs of it, the very basics of the Python coding with it. And then just allow them to explore the website and see what they want to build. So this summer I'm planning to work on, there's one on there now, which is kind of like a selfie booth. And so you use the touch screen, so you can type in a message or in like your Twitter handle and take a photo, and it will post it to Twitter with an account. So I'm excited for that. I wanted to give that a shot this summer. So that was one of my making goals I have.
I know there's so many things to do with it. And then that's the thing. It's really, and they keep developing new ideas for it and whatever. I mean, you can basically use it like the Amazon Echo, like the Raspberry Pi. And then I love how they like, right, you can get the touchscreen sensor. People make little arcade games. It's so cool, the things that people can do. Or it's like you realize that there's a lot of things, like even if you had like a big monitor that displayed like Twitter for your district and your Twitter account, those can be powered by like a $29 Raspberry Pi 3, right? I mean, those are, you find out how many things are really powered by those things. And what was the survey that you saw that it won like the best innovation of the new century? What was that one? Remember what you shared that one with me?
Yeah, I forget what it was. It was the biggest innovation of the last 20 years or 10 years. And it was, I thought it was going to be the iPhone.
And it wasn't.
Yeah, it was Raspberry Pi, these $35 computers. Well, during our Pi Academy, that one, lady, even though she looked like she was in her teens, she would go back to India and, you know, she would bring a handful of those and teach kids how to code with these things. So again, it's a $35 computer. You just need a monitor, an HD.
Oh, right. She was a girl. She was in high school, right? She was like a high school senior, and she'd go there over her summers, and that was what she did. And she kind of shared that stuff, and she got an award because she would bring back over the Raspberry Pis.
That's right. She did. I think she started in junior high school.
That's so cool.
And then it continued all the way through. And I think, what was it? I think she said that she was going to Stanford now. So, fitting.
Oh, well, not Stanford. I mean, she wants a real challenge. She should go to Eastern Illinois like I did. Her and Tony Romo and I. I should tell you this. I could tell you the story offline, Brian, but I saw a girl on my flight with a Packers sweatshirt yesterday. I just wanted to be like, come on.
Yes. First class site.
She was definitely not in first class. I think she had the last row behind me. I was the next to last row. So then here we can finish off a little bit, because I am watching the time for, I'm trying to be mindful. You like how the new John is mindful?
The new John is mindful. Wonderful.
And then I also talk about myself in the third person, but remember. Sorry, I was trying to stop it. I'm trying even in the spirit of geekdom, I'm trying this podcast actually with my Apple EarPods, so that's all I'm using. So no, if you're watching, remember, we have shied you away. You are watching it. I know I did not get those big hoops. I didn't move to Portland and get big earlobe earrings. Those are just my EarPods. And I'm trying to see, we'll listen back and see how the sound is. But the last thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit is Little Bits.
Little Bits.
And so anyway, we have some stuff, and I'm going to do some stuff for them today that I'm late on as a Little Bits lead educator, and I hope that they forgive me for this, because I have to write my blog post and upload some inventions that my kids made. But you talk about, like, the Raspberry Pi and how we took the emoji pillow and, like, how we got out of that stuff. Well, that was loud. We went through and did the same kind of thing with the new Little Bits coding kit. And so Little Bits are already great, but now they've added this coding kit. And in fact, I have one. I was going to say, I have the coding bit, but this is the power bit that that I need to send back. But we have the code bit where it's a larger orange bit, and you can connect it via Bluetooth to a computer or a Chromebook, and you can actually code what happened. So we had a whole almost Pi Academy like finale going on with third graders, Brian.
Oh, that is awesome. I want that coding unit also. That's on my list to get. So I love the Little Bits. They're just those little module things. They're very kind of simple, because you're taking, now with the coding, you're taking the coding and now you're looking at, I'm using my hands. I mean, there's just like, it fosters into that making spirit and that wonder. I wonder if I can do this. So my wonder with Little Bits, I don't know if you know, since you're a Little Bit pro and know other Little Bit pros.
Pro in quotation marks. I know a little bit.
I still want to make two turntables so I can DJ with Little Bits.
I think you can. I'm right. And it's got, I mean, the kids all use the speaker bit, right? So the speaker bit was there. And I did combine a couple of the other kits. I combined like the Rule Your Room kit with it. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. They didn't use a lot of those bits because we were already familiar. Like, you start with your Hello World project or whatever. Mm-hmm. But remember, when we talk about these things, we're going to talk about only things that we have hands-on experience with kids.
Yeah.
And with actual students doing them, or even with our own kids or whatever, because I have a lot of kids. Brian's are getting older and going, now graduating and going, one of them's going to college. One's off. You were.
And speaking of, his college has a makerspace.
There you go.
So there's like, when he was touring colleges, you're seeing these makerspaces in colleges more and more. So I'm going to go visit him a lot then.
Yeah, no, it'd be awesome. I know. I'm in all the makerspace communities here in Portland, and we have one that Portland State.
Oh, nice.
Okay. And they're very open with theirs. So it's kind of nice as they go through. So anyway, here's my Kickstarter. Okay. So that's what we've got, but we promise you that we will give you our tips and tricks for things as we go on. We promise that we won't yammer the whole time, that we'll bring in good people that we know about. We didn't even talk about like Makey Makeys or anything like that, but we're going to talk about geeky Steam stuff. So we hope that if you're interested in this first podcast, that you'll give us a chance, and we'll get one going next week, because we can do this over the summer. That's not a problem. We have enough like things that we just talked about right there to give us a whole summer's worth of topics, really.
Yeah, and like you said, like future episodes, we'll probably just focus on one tool.
We just brain dumped on you. This was our brain dump. So then what I have, Brian, is we'll go a little bit of drones, and then we can go a little bit of Ozobots. We can go Raspberry Pi and Little Bits, and then those can be the topics for our first ones. But definitely not limited to just those. But we'll get off from there. I wouldn't mind actually doing the Little Bits episode first. That's still fresh in my mind.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
And then I'll be at the Little Bits booth at ISTE if you actually want to talk to me more in the morning times. I'll be there. I'll actually be there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday mornings. There's a lunch and learn or something Wednesday, which I will be at. So yeah, so I'm gonna help them out, since there's about 16 people that got the coding kit early and piloted it with kids, and I was one of them. So I was lucky enough. So I thank them.
Are you guys meeting up with them there? Are you doing a meetup?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're doing a meetup as much as they kind of found the 16, like the four or five of us that were actually had experience that were going to ISTE and said, please come and talk to people about the new kit at the booth. Since, you know, you could have ordered it by now and used it with students, but it's June. What is the date today, Brian? Is it June 19th? It's sure. June 19th, and we're still in school in Oregon. So oh, wow. We're going to go to school into the summertime after the solstice.
Darn snow. That's how
bad we are.
Darn snow.
Okay, so here's my one. I'm going to open up my Kickstarter on the bottom. Let's see, which one do I want to do? Ooh, that one's fun. But here, I'll do one. Let's see. All right, so I saw one this week that had, it only has 4 days to go. So we'll really need, let's see if it's, let me refresh. I might have lost it already. Let's see. Oh, it's got 14 hours to go. Okay, I won't do that one. There's no way I'll get this up within 14 hours. So I'll go to my other one then. And now I'm covering it up. Okay, so the one that I'm going to go to is one that I used for my Lego wall is the brick tiles.
Okay.
All right. So the brick tile now has a Lego compatible marble run that is going with it.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm going to order that one. I know I'm going to order it. So it's like whatever. So the brick tiles, and I have to look because I think I ordered some extra and I haven't gotten them. So I'm wondering if someone poached my delivery here. So I'm gonna have to really call after them, but they're really good with it. And so the brick tiles are just bigger. I don't know what you would call them, Brian, like 9x9, whatever, but they're like the ones where you put down the big grass and start to build your house on the Legos, right?
It's the foundation.
Put them on your wall. Yeah, it's the foundation. And so now you can put these on your wall and build them, and they're Lego compatible. They're not actually official Lego material, of course, but they're compatible, and they have like other things like little keychains you can hook in. But now they're doing the marble run where you can build all sorts of contraptions on there. And so it's kind of like a follow-up to one of my formerly funded Kickstarters. And we have the Lego wall right now, and we can talk about that a little bit too. And I could just put some pictures onto the website. And we'll have to look at what the website is called, but we do have a website. Do you remember what we called it? Do we call it the Steamy Teacher? What do we call it?
I forget.
What do you call the website? I forgot too. We had so many cool names. I really like the Steam Dream Team, but I just don't want to seem like a snob.
No. The other that you just brought to my attention about that marble run is that I did a conference not too long ago with John Crippo and Scott Meech from Apple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Meech.
Yeah. He down the hallway was, I forget his name, but he did the marble roller coaster, and it was made out of paper. So mm-hmm. I bought that kit where you just have to Xerox it off and just have the kids fold it. So I was thinking at a conference I'm going to this summer, that be one of the icebreakers instead of like the marshmallow challenge, have them build like the biggest, the tallest roller coaster that functions. And you have to say you have to include a loop, a jump or something like that. So that's one idea I was going to have, but that's something we can try out also. But that marble run, just to get kids' eyes and minds running. That'd be so fun doing that. Like, don't they have those, the I remember when my daughter was a baby, she had that, the wooden ones that would go on the wire.
Sure.
I mean, that's like a continuation of that. Who's not fascinated with that?
I like it too. So I saw that one. So that was one that caught my eye. I'll have to either make a decision and fund my book before my payday tomorrow or not.
Wait, what's the one about to run up?
Okay, so the one, all right, so people, the one that was, it was actually more of a book. And so it's called ABC, Basic Connections, the Essential Book for Makers.
Oh, I'm going to take a look at that.
And it's already doubled. Well, after I back it, it'll have doubled its goal, it looks like here, real quick. And let me see how much it costs. It is only, well, it's in pounds, of course, because my computer always defaults on Kickstarter to German because I think it's trying to get me. I think my wife did that, so I quit buying them. But it looks like it's just 20. It looks like it's just 23. Oh, it says $25 for the book.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
It is 23. I think it looks like 23 euros, actually. So, yeah, that's an interesting one. Okay, so that brings up my last thing before we stop then, because now we've definitely gone over a half hour. But the thing is, we could also talk about this. So I wrote this down. Marshmallow Challenge is always was for the last 2 years I was in the classroom, because now I'm a teacher out at Starbucks all the time. But it was a marshmallow challenge. We did the first day of school and the last day of school, so I wouldn't even do anything. And I would just show them the marshmallow challenge and have them team up and build teamwork right away with it, and they had no idea what to expect. So we could talk about the marshmallow challenge and just some beginning of the year kind of steamy things you can do. And then the other one is the thing that teachers at my, that it's very basic and low tech, but it's totally steam driven, is the Hot Wheels speedometry kit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which I got for free by a fluke of luck that I just happened to be on the Twitters or whatever. But After our future bus rolled into the summer camps, which we're going to roll into this year, so mm-hmm. there'll probably be some topics there, but they love that. In fact, G. Bundy said, I think the speedometry was the best thing that we did. And we worked with a whole bunch of different things. Like we did Spheros, we did Makey Makeys, but he said he thought the speedometry kit was really the coolest challenge. We were doing it a little bit differently too, but
there was, I think it's discontinued, but for Hot Wheels, they do mm-hmm. like, it's kind of like a speed radar detector that gives you digits. They said it was discontinued. I was able to buy two of them. That's something that I might have to explore in the future is, you know, construct a kit that can generate the fastest speed. How accurate mm-hmm. it is, I don't know, but still, that would be awesome.
Yeah. And I think I've been lending it out all over the district. The last person that used it was a kindergarten teacher. So nice. That's how far down it can go. Anyway, so that's great. So Brian, look here, I've got we'll have to do more sound effects next time. We're just being serious here, but there we go. There's a sound effect. And then what we like to do after a show is, whoop. Oh, whoa. Whoa, who just came in the room? It's Darth Vader. There we go. Okay, there we go. Uh-oh, Brian is not turning on. I know, sometimes those sound effects can go so long, like the final countdown on that one. Okay, we get it. Stop. Well, anyway, we hope you enjoyed the show. And remember to, we don't even know. We don't even know where. Brian, we need to talk about this offline, what I need to do to get my podcasts back going here. Do I just make it a station with all these different podcasts or whatever? Well, I'll ask you real quick after we stop recording. Check Brian out. Check this out. Yeah. The podcast with his other half, Ryan. And right now, the only episode I have in the cooler right now is I do have an episode of Grumpy Old Teachers with Scott Bedley. You can go to iPadSammy.com and we'll start uploading some stuff. But we'll have the real website name. It's something cool. Like, I got it. It's not Betsy DeVos related, but I do have those too. But by the way, if you would like the domain Betsy Devastation of Education, I think it's devastationofeducation.com, contact me and I'll sell it to you.
How about Mel Bib DeVos? We're going to go with that.
Mel Bib DeVos.
Poison?
I know. It's probably R&B smoothed out on the hip hop tip with a pop appeal feel to it. Thank you for listening, everybody. You have any last words, Brian?
Not at this moment. I'm looking forward to this, see what, you know, what we're going to do in the future. So, and have fun at ISTE.
I'll have fun at ISTE. Even though I was gone all last week, I feel guilty. It's part of my, I always feel constantly guilty about stuff. It's my upbringing. I can't help it. That's for another show.
Nothing sounds more entertaining than San Antonio, Texas in July.
Oh, no, that's what I said. Right. Late June for San Antonio is perfect. The weather's about 105. It'll be great. It'll be a nice humidity going. Oh, no, it'll be a lot of fun, I'm sure.
I'm excited for maybe possibly next summer going to ISTE. You put the invitation to go.
I did. It's Chicago, my hometown. So then
we can play Bruce Springsteen's My Hometown song.
And you That's right. But more importantly, we could probably just play Chicago, the band, and, you know.
Wow.
As I was walking through. We'll play old Chicago, old 70s Chicago, not the 80s, like Glory of Love Chicago. But it'll be like, as I was walking in the street one day.
If we do go, just know I'm wearing Green Bay Packers gear in Chicago.
Fine, whatever. Well, we know the Bears will have won two games by then, hopefully. That's what I'm shooting for, two next year. And then they can mess up that draft pick, too. All right, everybody. Well, have a good day. We hope to stop by at ISTE if you get a chance. I'll be at the Little Bits booth in the mornings. So stop by and see us. And Brian will be at any Q event, Q Rocks event, you will find Brian Briggs. So look for him there.
You will, because I worked on the shirt. So I have everyone's back.
Oh, look at that. There you go, Brian. All right, we'll think of a good tagline, but we will catch you on the flip side.